Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I am Bob Calvert, the founder of Talking with Heroes, and your host for this program. For those of you who are finding out about our program for the very first time, you can find out a little bit about our now 10-year history, which includes some information on our 5 trips to Iraq and 3 to Afghanistan from 2006 to 2011. Just go to our news site, thankyouforyourservice.us. There's a new article there. It has a title, Info 10-Year History, and then a couple of the words there. And when you go in there, it'll give a little bit about our 10-year history with links to our YouTube page where hundreds of videos are, but also tell you what we've been doing for the last year and a half with members of an alliance of military support groups called R4 Alliance, www.R4Alliance.org. It's been an amazing year and a half talking to so many of these military families, veterans, caregivers, professional people who are leading these nonprofits across America, focusing on recreational therapy. But also on that page, it'll tell you about what we have coming up. More audio programs, but also video programs. Later this month, again, if you're listening April or May or down the road, you'll see this on our news site. We're going to be filming and doing interviews at the 2016 Bataan Memorial Death March. I've heard now from the PAO there that they're looking at over 7,000 people coming from around the world. It's going to be an unbelievable event. My brother, Commander Phil Carson, is going to be there on the march, and Warrior Bonfireprogram.org, their leaders, veterans, they're going to be there. And so we're going to have great video footage to show you all on YouTube. So anyway, tonight we're going to be talking with another member of the R4 Alliance organization. I've met Lynn before. We've actually had shorter interviews with Lynn. And Lynn Morella, she is what she calls herself, the chief executive camper at an organization called Eagle Rock Camp in North Carolina. And she's going to talk about her organization, about their therapeutic military family retreats, and also about some of their retreats coming up later this year. So I'd like to now introduce Lynn to the program. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here.
Yep, it's great to have you back on the air. I look forward later this year actually being at one of your retreats. I know we're planning that. I'm going to put a team together. If you don't mind, if you could start out, maybe people haven't heard a previous program we did with you. If you could start out, talk a little bit about yourself, your background, and what led you to do what you've been doing now for years.
Well, my background was I had a great career in the staffing and recruiting industry and watched the servicemen and women, some of them struggled when they came back. They were ended up underemployed where they weren't making the right salaries that they needed to make. They weren't in the right jobs. They were struggling at home. We would get phone calls from the spouses and adult kids would come by. Can you help my dad? Can you help my mom? And that combined with the fact that my younger brother was not in the military, but he was in a horrific car accident when he was 18 and left him a quadriplegic. So I personally have that background and experience of what a traumatic injury does to the whole family. And I watched my parents age like 15, 20 years in a matter of 2 years, watched the entire family struggle, the younger siblings all of a sudden are not getting the attention of mom and dad because their attention is going to my brother. And me as the older sister got to watch all this unfold. So when you combine it all together, really took a hard look at the needs of the people that had severe traumatic physical wounds. Because like I said, he was a quadriplegic, which meant he couldn't move his legs or his hands or his wrists. He could move his shoulders, and that was about it. And then you look at the struggle of the military, and we just, wanted to give back at the end of my staffing career and just came up with this concept. You know, we started out looking at adults with debilitating injuries, and then we started looking at the needs of the military family. And a lot of our soldiers, servicemen and women, are coming back injured. Sometimes we don't see those injuries. Sometimes it's post-traumatic stress that they struggle with. Sometimes it's a traumatic brain injury. sometimes it is the physical injury that you see. You know, we see them sometimes in wheelchairs, on crutches. We're seeing more and more service dogs or service animals. Great, I'm excited about that. We just came up with a concept of how can we best serve this community. And what seemed to be missing when we did our needs analysis was just a way to teach them life skills, teach them how to cope, how to kind of break the cycle of what's going on in the family. And that's how the six-day retreat was born. We looked at getting retreats together. Didn't know what length of retreat would work, if it needed to be 4 days, 5 days, a week. We just found in studying some other models, other organizations doing retreats, and started looking at it from a therapeutic standpoint. And 6 days is what it takes to work. You know, you get longer, you kind of lose their attention. If it's shorter, it's not enough attention. So we've developed a six-day, five-night retreat. Military families do not pay to come. We don't charge them to come. They do have to get themselves there, but we call them gas scholarships, where some of the local gas stations or the local stations will, you know, for the brand names, will give us a gas card or a contribution to help cover the cost of driving to get there. We don't yet cover airfare to get to us. We're located actually in Western North Carolina, in the Charlotte area, but our retreats that we do are up in the Blue Ridge Mountains in the foothills, so it's beautiful. We have some incredible sunrises and sunsets, and the mountains are around us. And that's important to know, because that's part of our healing process. Program, do you want me to talk about the program a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah. Talk about what a military family would experience there.
We use a combination of interactive workshops and therapeutic recreation. And we always ask our families, you know, what is your goal? What do you want to gain? And we hear our family needs a vacation. Well, we're not a vacation, because you're going to work hard, but you're also going to play hard. So, again, we use the combination of interactive workshops we have workshops for adults, and we have workshops for their children, and we break them into three different age groups, because we teach age appropriately. And we do that in the mornings, and then we come back together for lunch, and after lunch we do therapeutic recreation. And it's things that you don't think about as being therapeutic, but it's canoeing and kayaking, it's swimming together as a family, it's fishing together as a family. Everything we do is a family unit. We're blessed to have a high ropes course and a zip line. Believe it or not, that is therapeutic, because when the whole family gets up there together and the parents are helping the kids get through it, that's helping build that family team. We also do some exercises that we're finding our servicemen and women get real excited about. We're doing things like land navigation, which is a military skill. And we set up a land navigation course that the family goes through together. And the serviceman or woman, whether it's mom or dad, has to stand back and let the kids take the lead, let the kids figure it out. So the children are learning some skills that mom and dad used in the military. We're trying to teach them, too, that it's not just about war, that sometimes, you know, deployment can be to a peaceful location, or they're in a war zone but they're doing peaceful type work. So we're trying to teach them skills to give them a different idea of what military service can be, you know, part of that service. So, like I said, we work hard, we play hard, we always have great meals. A couple of extra things we do, we have a date night for the moms and dads, and we take the kids out for movies, and in case a listener to this wants to come, we don't give out details of date night, but it's a very special night. And another thing that we do the last night at camp is a talent show, and that is so much fun, and we actually do things like mother-son dances, father-daughter dances, and of course there's the husband-wife dance, there's slow music, there's romantic music, and there's lots of hugging and tears and breakthroughs and, you know, a quick story. At our last retreat, we had a father and daughter that were estranged. And I went over to the dad and I said, you need to ask your daughter to dance. And he said, she won't dance with me, I'm not going to ask. And I said, I'll be right back. So I went over to the daughter and said, your daddy really wants to dance with you, but he's scared to death to ask. And she said, well, he better not, because my answer's no. And I hugged her and I said, you know what? My daddy died this year. And, you know, my dad was 90, he was a World War II veteran. And I said, I would give anything if I could dance one more time with my daddy. And she saw me tear up and get emotional. And I said, so there will come a time in your life where you really, really will want to dance with your daddy. And she said, okay. And this girl is 12. So she went over and she just sat there and she said, but I'm not going over there. And I said, no, he'll come ask you as a gentleman should. So I went back over and I said, your daughter wants to dance with you. And he just said, no, she doesn't want to do that. And I said, yes, go ask her. And if you want, I'll hold your hand and walk over there with you. But we're going to go ask that girl to dance. They got on the dance floor, and just that human touch of, you know, the position you're in with your dancing, you know, with kind of your arm around the other person, they ended up just hugging and kind of swaying back and forth, and they were both just weeping, and they were tears of reconciliation, you know, and they changed the rest of the retreat. It was amazing to watch this transformation between a father and a daughter that weren't even speaking when they got there.
Wow. That...
Yeah, it's
cheers
wild,
me up. Yeah, that's really neat to hear. So talk about some of the activities. I mean, you're in is it a ranch setting, or do you have horses? Do you have, you know?
Sometimes we do. We use YMCA camps that are, you know, there's a lot of old camps in the mountains of Western North Carolina. We go for the newer ones because the facilities are better, and then if you happen to be wheelchair-bound or you can't walk a great distance, so you just need a wider door for whatever reason, for mobility reasons. You know, we go with the newer facilities because they're adapted for that, where some of the older ones are not. Our favorite is in Boomer, North Carolina. Most people don't have a clue where that is, but it's about a 90-minute drive northwest of Charlotte. They do have a small ranch there, and they have horses. Everything I've already talked about, the swimming and the they have a zero-entry pool, so you literally could roll in. They have these jumping toys in the lake, so you can get in the lake when the weather's nice. They have canoeing and kayaking. We're talking to, we're having a conversation with another organization that I'm not ready to name yet, but they're a member of the R4 Alliance, to come and teach fly fishing. And we're also looking at a partnership with the Fly Fishing Club at Appalachian State University to come teach it as well. So, we're always looking for ways to improve and additional things that we can bring to the table. This particular location has a high and a low ropes course. They have yard games. They have an outdoor gymnasium. It's called an airnasium. So we do games in there. And sometimes it's just like the first night, we just have dinner. We do a tour. Then we go to the campfire and we have introductions. We sing songs. We sing the You Can't Ride My Little Red Wagon song. What's her name, Lambert? Just went out of my head. That she made popular. We make s'mores. And you know, we have a lot of fun. We teach the families how to have fun as a family again, because a lot of them don't. They're so serious all the time. And we're really excited that our retreat in May is already fully booked, and it's the retreat for the EOD warriors. And they are more injured. They have a higher injury rate than any other branch of the military. And for those that don't know, EOD stands for Explosive Ordnance Device. Disposal. And I tell people this is the bomb squad. These are the ones that go in first. You know, they make it safer for our special forces, our Navy SEALs that go in. And they called and asked us if we would do a caregiver retreat for just the caregivers. And my short answer was no, because the family needs to engage and understand what the caregiver needs as well as the wounded parent. So we had a lot of long conversations back and forth. And we are just so excited about this opportunity. You know, we're getting things ready this far in advance. We've got a couple of extra surprises in there and all. So it's going to be good. It's going to be a really, really good time.
And what are some of your other programs coming up as the year goes on?
We are, for our families this year, in May, we're actually rolling out a very solid, committed, very, very active 2-year continuum of care, which I know is something that the R4 Alliance is really looking for, you know, in its membership. But we are going to do a family wellness calendar, and we're booking around it additional workshops, additional training, some, you know, we're going to have couples retreats. later in the year, just as refresher courses. You know, the prerequisite is you have to have already come as a family, but now this is the time for just mom and dad to come. But the two-year continuum of care is really important as we continue to work with them and continue to teach and do more workshops, have periodic get-togethers. We're going to have one of the things we do at our retreats is a tea party for the ladies, and we do a men's breakfast for the men. And we're going to find a way to we're actually talking to a software company now to figure out how we can do a tea party virtually and how can we do men's breakfast virtually. And each one of our ladies that comes gets a very nice old-fashioned from your grandma's attic porcelain teacup to take home. That's our gift to them. So one of the things we're doing is we're looking at for this interactive or virtual tea party is get your teacup out, pour yourself some tea, and we want to be able to see each other. So it's going to be a giant FaceTime event. So we're working on figuring that out. The kids program we're unveiling in May. It's I'm really excited about it. It's in final development right now. We have been kind of all over the place with our kids program, but we decided to teach the kids what we're teaching the adults. So that way when the family goes home, they're all on the same page. So when they have their regularly scheduled family meetings, they have things to talk about where they can have more open discussions. Things like money and budgeting, you know, how to understand. The kids need to understand what the family's budget is, and a lot of them don't have a clue. So we're trying to open communication up between the parents and the kids so they all understand and they're all on the same page for the long-term success of the family.
That's great. Now, you've mentioned R4 Alliance a little bit. I mentioned it at the beginning. How does being a member with your nonprofit of R4 Alliance and working with these other organizations, how does that help you?
I think there's two things that really jump out at me, and the first one is sharing best practices. We learn from each other. Our two-year continuum of care outline, we discovered at the last R4 Alliance meeting in October. Someone mm-hmm. else is doing a similar program. They're not in the retreat business at all, but he talked about, and he's in a health and wellness for the warrior, and he talked about his calendar, and we kind of scratched our heads and went, that's our vehicle. We knew what we wanted to do, but we didn't know how to deliver the product, and the calendar seemed to work. So while they're at the retreats, they'll start working on their calendar for the rest of this year, and then in December, we'll send them a calendar with every month has a photo of their family at one of our retreats. So at the end of the year, as they're developing their calendar for the full, you know, the full 12 months coming up, every month they'll see a photo of their family having a good time, you know, laughing together and, or, you know, maybe they're in canoes together or whatever. And the other thing about R4 is, there's so much. My two favorite things are like I said, the sharing best practices. And we learned a lot about research and how to research and report numbers, crunch the data. And it's caused us to go back and renew a partnership with Appalachian State University, which we're meeting in April. We've already had a couple meetings and lots of long discussions. We're doing multi-departmental research and data analysis. So we're any department at a major university that you can think would touch a family, like nutrition, we're teaching mm-hmm. nutrition. So one of their PhDs that is a department chair is going to get involved. We're looking at sociology, psychology, marriage and family. We're looking at social services, social work, to make sure that everything we do is what's needed and spot on. And then we can produce good, solid information and data that backs up everything we do.
That's great. So Your website is eaglerockcamp.org. When people go to your website, people listening right now, when they go to your website, what do they do to register? Or you have some of your events listed there now, right?
We do. We have four retreats scheduled right now. We are looking at adding three or four more this year as funding is available. Our goal was to do 6 to 8 retreats this year. And within the next 3 years, we want to be able to offer 20 a year. So we've got a really aggressive growth plan. And this is the year we're kicking that off. You know, we're expanding, like I said, expanding out. We're going to do 6 to 8 This we've only been doing 2 a year, and that's just not enough. You know, when you look at the need, over 3 million have deployed since 9/11, and there's just a handful of us that do what we do. And I think another executive director and I sat down and figured up with that 3 million number divided out by if we were all doing 20 to 25 retreats a year, it would take 100 years to get every family through once.
Wow.
So it's a big number. And, we've all got wait lists now. Some are longer than others, but ours is developing. We've got a wait list right now of about 100 families. But to get more information or to register, we are in the middle of overhauling our website. So today, what you would do is go to the website. If you click on the retreat button, it'll take you to the dates that we have published right now. And then you can go to the contact us and send an email, and it actually comes directly to me. And I make sure that one of our team members will respond to send you an application. You complete the application and send it back in. We will call you about 2 months before the retreat for an interview. We'll talk to you again a month out. We'll send you a welcome kit. We start sending you information, have lots of dialogue, and then you come to the retreat. In the future, I'd say within 6 to 8 weeks, you'll be able to go to the website. It will be much more user-friendly, I guess, and more relevant, and you'll be able to apply directly online.
Okay, that's good. Now,
thanks,
do you have volunteers? Pardon me?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you have volunteers that help you, right? How do people volunteer?
Absolutely. The same way right now, you just click on Contact Us and send me an email and tell me, or send an email and tell me that you want to volunteer, and we'll send you an application. We will also have our volunteer application online, so you'll be able to just apply. I can tell you, Bob, I'm so excited to say that with the results we had last year, we had about 40 to 45 volunteers working with us. They contributed 3,400 hours of time to us last year, which added a value of $110,000 to our bottom line. So volunteers are important. You know, even if you can volunteer to do back office functions, you know, help send out the newsletter or, help with bookkeeping, accounting, we use QuickBooks, down to coming to a retreat to help. We do have more specific criteria to come to a retreat because you are working with our family. And a couple things that we are always concerned about, one is confidentiality, because what happens at a retreat stays at a retreat. We don't report to your command if you're active. We don't report to the VA. We don't report to anybody. We report to us. And so we need to make sure that our volunteers, whether they're handling back office functions or at a retreat, understand that. And we also leave our counseling up to our counselors. So a lot of people are, when they hear your story, they're real anxious to share their story and tell you what you need to do to get better. But we use certified counselors for that. And we use chaplains with military experience, and then we use certified counselors. So, you know, it's real easy for people to cross that line. So we have to do a lot of training ahead of time.
Sure. Now, you also have a presence on social media. Why don't you tell people how they can find you on the different social media pages?
Darn, I should have written that down.
Okay, well, I have written it if you want me to read it.
Good. We're on Facebook and Twitter. We're not on Instagram and Snapchat. We're not on those yet. I was told the way it works is Facebook has been taken over by grandmothers, so the teenagers are now on Snapchat and Instagram. So it sounds like the bulk of our audience, whether you're a volunteer, a military family, or a potential donor, you're still going to be on Facebook and Twitter. So
sure.
That's where we put our efforts.
Right. So on Twitter, people can find you at Eagle Rock Camp WW, and on Facebook,
correct,
Eagle Rock Camp USA. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Good job.
Great. You're welcome. I'm always glad to help. So any last things you'd like to share with people across the country, military families, veterans and families?
Yes. If you're struggling with anything, whether it's family relationships or yourself or depression or ideations of suicide, whatever it is you struggle with, please raise your hand and let somebody know that you're struggling and you need help. people like us are looking for people like you to help. And it's not, I don't know how to describe it. It's not that we feel obligated to do it, but it's more than saying thank you for your service. You know, we really, we understand the sacrifice the whole family makes. And we know it's not just the warrior. We know it's the whole family. And we want to help that family. And we know to heal the warrior, to heal post-traumatic stress, your very soul or your spirit's been broken. And the only way to heal that is with your family. You know, it involves your family. And sometimes it's not just your wife and your kids. Sometimes it's your parents, it's your siblings, it's your caregiver if it's a non-family member. But you have to heal. And that's what we're here for. And, you know, we watch the miracles. We watch things happen. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's, I told you the story about the father and the daughter. That's one of probably 30 or 40 things that happened in 6 days. We work hard. Our team works really, really hard. We play hard with our families. We cry a lot because there are tears of healing and joy when we watch this happen. And not that we take the credit for it. We don't. Our team is very humble, but we're here to serve the military families and just help them. And the more we do it, the more you guys have our hearts. If I can speak directly to the military families, our hearts are with you. I can't describe enough how much you capture our hearts at every retreat. And we love on you, and we'll pray for you. We minister spiritually and prayerfully with permission. But it's a good place, and we have a lot of fun. And like I said, we do work hard, but we truly, truly thank you for what you do for America. And if we can help you come home better and reintegrate into your communities better, our communities need to do a better job. And that's something we're looking at doing in the next 12 months is how do we start educating the community to welcome you home and to understand and just to help your family make whatever transition they're making and help you reintegrate back into that community.
Would you like to, before we go out the air, would you like to give a shout-out to our men and women who are serving right now around the world?
Absolutely. To everybody who is deployed, everybody who's stateside, thank you for what you do. Thank you for being in the military. Keep up the great work, but also to your families, your moms and your dads and your wives and your husbands, your children, your siblings, your entire family. I recently heard that one member of the military impacts 16 direct family members. So it's another statistic that proves when you're out there serving, your family is serving. So I thank the families. I never just thank the military member. I thank your whole family because they're giving a lot as well. And I appreciate what you do. I appreciate the fact that we all get to live in America and not some other crazy country. So, but thank you. Just appreciate you more than we can ever say.
Well, thank you, Lynn. It's been a pleasure to talk with you again on the air. And I look forward to working with you more later this year.
Great.
You know, I just appreciate very much what you do. It's an amazing work you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you, Bob. We always need the encouragement. It helps us keep doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
And you're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Well, folks, you've been listening again on TalkingWithHeroes.com and to Lynn Morella, Chief Executive Camper at Eagle Rock Camp in North Carolina. That's EagleRockCamp.org. On Facebook, Eagle Rock Camp Eagle Rock Camp USA, and on Twitter, Eagle Rock Camp WW. And thank you for listening. I always like to ask that you like what you've heard, please share this program with as many people as you can, especially our military families, caregivers, and veterans and their families. That would be very helpful to help us get the word out. I know on our YouTube page, we're well over 340,000 now, and that's all word of mouth that have watched one or more of our hundreds of videos. And that's what we're asking people to do, the same thing, just share the program. We'll have a post on this on our Facebook pages, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Google+, and of course Twitter, and so help us get the word out. And I want to also give a shout out first to our veterans and veterans' families. Thank you for your service to our country, and to all of our active duty military and families around the world. Thank you for your service, and to those of you who might be in an area around the world where you could be in harm's way, be safe, stay alert. God bless you. We look forward to you coming back home soon. God bless America.